Great to be with you on this Wednesday, the 20th of May. I'd like to begin firstly by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land that where Let's Talk is broadcast. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders and non-Indigenous elders. And a welcome to you if you're listening to Let's Talk through the National Indigenous Radio Service right across this country. Great to have you along. Hopefully you're listening in from far north Queensland, because we got Biggest Mob from far north Queensland with us today. They're all artists, and they're part of their works are exhibited in a exciting exhibition called Freshwater Saltwater Existence, which was curated by Yumi Arts, a gallery in far north Queensland in Cairns, and we're going to be yarning with the curator of that, Tio Ropeyarn, and we're also going to meet, as I mentioned, some of the artists whose works are in that particular exhibition. So stay with us for this hour. We will meet our artists and Tio in just a moment. 98.9 FM and the National Indigenous Radio Service. Karen Durante with you for Let's Talk. And we've got Tio Ropeyarn with us. Tio is the curator of the Yumi Arts, a gallery curator at Yumi Arts. And he also put together the Freshwater Saltwater Existence exhibition, which is on at opens at the Judith Wright Centre today here in Brisbane. Welcome to Let's Talk, Tio.
Thank you.
Tell us your mob, your country.
From Injinu there. My mob are the Ankamuti people on the west coast, Yadaikana on the east coast, and dad's family from Torres Strait there.
Which
Badu,
island?
Badu and Moa.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. And how long have you been with Yumi Arts?
I've been there for about 4 years.
All right.
4 years now. Yeah, straight after college in Sydney.
What were you doing, studying at college in Sydney?
Studied a Bachelor of Fine Arts. I majored in painting and drawing. So, yeah, I'm an artist myself. Yeah.
Okay, right. So how are you finding doing the work that you're doing as opposed to, I mean, do you still practice your art?
Yeah, I still do stuff at home when I got the time. But, yeah, doing the work at Yumi, it's, you know, very rewarding. Just working with artists from a grassroots level, yeah.
Mm. So where is home for you? Is it Injinu or Cairns?
Cairns. I'm based in Cairns, but, yeah, originally from Injinu there.
All right. And what made you get into, to go all the way from far north Queensland to New South Wales to study a Bachelor of Fine Arts? I mean, what got you interested?
I think this was probably in grade 10, and I've got this in my bio, but I saw that the Aboriginal culture from Injinu wasn't really strong. Like, you know, we've got that influence from Torres Strait, so it was sort of something that, for me to look into properly. And I think the main goal was to go down to Sydney, study, get my degree, and go back to community and build an arts and cultural centre. At Injinu, yeah.
Is there one there?
There's an arts centre based in New Mapoon that caters for all them five communities up there. But, yeah, working with the council, it's just getting into that process of getting to that point, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. And so what drew you to Yumi Arts then?
Well, I had a baby on the way, so I had to get a job to support the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that position, yeah, came available. But that year before, I participated in the Exhibition Ready program delivered by Yumi Arts, through the other Indigenous Development Officer. She's now one of the events manager at Yumi Arts, and another Development Officer there, Guy and Renee. So I did the Exhibition Ready program myself and learned all the background work into preparing the exhibition. Then that position came available, and you know, I really liked the organisation. It was grassroots and for the people, and supported artists from that region, because I, you know, didn't go back to I was in community at the time, but didn't go back up there to set up that art center. working at Yumi Arts was, you know, another form of helping artists from far north Queensland.
Mm. Tell people about Yumi Arts, what it is.
It's a peak Indigenous organisation for artists and cultural practitioners, music.
So it's just not the visual arts. It's
no, yeah.
All forms of arts, is
yep.
it?
So music and performance. So I look after all the visual arts side of things, the best part of Yumi Arts. But, yeah, we look after the region from Torres Strait, Cape York, down to Charters Towers, out to Camarwheel. And we support artists through visual arts program. Like the Go See one year, we've got all the artists down to see all the big galleries. Exhibition ready program where artists come in and learn how to prepare for an exhibition and workshops and that sort of stuff. We also go into community too, and we've got a three-year program called Towards Self-Management with Northern Peninsula area in Yarrabah. So we're in the second year of that 3 year. And it's the artist that travels down south to experience all the big galleries and see what's out there and look at all the collection.
So these are established artists, emerging artists. These are people who have expressed an interest in pursuing a career down this path that you're helping.
Yeah, most of the artists, they start off emerging. You know, they've just been doing work in. At home or at the art centre,
mm-hmm.
in community. We have few established artists here that are in the state collection at Queensland Art Gallery, Philomena, and well-known artists, Michelle Yateman through her ceramics, and Uncle Vincent Babia, who won the Gab Titoi Cultural Centre Award last year.
You're keeping good company,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah. They'll keep me on my toes. No.
and Uncle Vincent, Philomena and Michelle, that they've got works in the current exhibition
Existence.
Yeah,
yep.
Existence.
Yeah.
We've also got Geraldine with us, who we'll yarn with in a moment. But Geraldine hasn't got a work in there, but she's part of the group that's come down to participate in all the programs that Yumi Arts provide.
Yeah. And Geraldine has been there. Auntie Geraldine has been there from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So both of the groups we've been working with from 2012.
Yeah.
So this is sort of a small reward for them to come down and look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, and it's been fortunate because last time I spoke to Tio, it was really cold here in Brisbane. So I think you've brought all the warm weather with you from up north. So thanks for that.
No, I think that they were all more excited about the warm weather than the cold here. So.
And we'll talk about the exhibition in just a moment, but we might take a break and then we'll meet some of the artists who are here with us today on Let's Talk. 98.9 FM and the National Indigenous Radio Service. This is Let's Talk. Karen Durante with you here on 98.9 FM and the National Indigenous Radio Service. And we have got with us a few artists from the NPA, Northern Peninsula area, and Yarrabah as well, representing. And they're here with Yumi Arts, who are down in our part of the world for a number of things. One of them is to open their Freshwater Saltwater Existence exhibition at the Judith Wright Centre of Contemporary Arts in Brisbane today. So if you are in Brisbane and you're listening, it'd be worthwhile going along to have a look at it. I had a yarn with Tio last week and he did mention to me that many of the artworks are on sale. So I guess if you do purchase that, you'll be not only supporting the artists that we have with us, but also the work that Yumi Arts do in their neck of the woods in far north Queensland. But we should say hello to Vincent Babia. Good morning to you, Vincent.
Yeah, good morning, Kapabatinga. Good morning, yeah.
Tell us your mob, your country.
I'm from Saibai, Torres Strait. My clan is Ait Kadal, the eastern end of Saibai.
Mm. But home for you is not Saibai, but Sasia.
Yeah, Sasia, yeah.
Just to tell people about, your mob's connection with the NPA, because there's a little bit of history about that, isn't there? Because, well, yeah, I'll leave that with you to yarn the story.
Because of water, like from Saibai, I haven't got water there, so the NPA, Chief Bamiga, and the clan, they made decision to move to
the NPA, to the mainland?
The NPA, yeah, to the mainland. And,
So Saibai people have had a long association with that area for a while. So there's Sasia, that's one of the communities.
Sasia, one of the communities, and Bamiga.
And Bamiga, all right. And what about the other ones that, Tio was talking about, Injanu, that's another community?
Aboriginal community, yeah.
Okay, no worries then. So tell people where Sasia is.
Well, Sasia is west from
Bamiga?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah, west from Bamiga there.
And it's closer to the tip, isn't it?
Yeah, closer to the tip, yeah.
Good fishing spot.
Yeah, good fishing.
All right. Well, tell us what it's like to grow up in Sasia. I mean...
I've been there all my life, like, grow up and my uncles and sit down and, passing that culture down.
Mm. Do you get back to Saibai very often?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, most of the time when, go visit families there.
Yep. All right. Tell us about how you got into art.
All my fathers, my uncles and grandfathers, they all do, cultural, artifacts and, passing down culture. And,
so when you talk about artifacts, do you mean, making dance machines, that sort of stuff?
Dancing apparatuses.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you do that yourself? I mean, what's your style of work?
I'm already dance composer and songwriter.
Yep. Yep. So you're everything.
Yeah, pass it down.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yep. Cultural protocols, we have to do that proper.
Do it proper way.
Yeah.
You can't just sort of decide to do something. You've got to go through the correct channels.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, tell us about the work that you have in this current exhibition.
Yeah, the work is about Adibuya, stone where two warriors went to New Guinea and take the stone from there. It's
so that's a local story that's been told?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so these warriors...
They're originally from Saibai.
They're originally from Saibai and they went to the PNG,
PNG,
Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, Papua New Guinea, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And what was what did they bring back with them? This a stone, you
said? Yeah, Adibuya, we call that, yeah.
Okay. Oh. All right.
The stone glows.
Okay.
And they worship that stone. So when they go to battle, go into battle and them stuff, they get,
They get special powers.
Yes.
Okay. I've never heard that story. So, and that's something that's particular to Saibai. So if, for me, I come from, my family links are with Murray and Mobiag. So, that wouldn't be a story that would come to, we would relate to because we're different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So that warrior from Mobiag went to Dalbay.
Okay.
Kuyam,
yeah.
So he went to Duan, then went to PNG.
Okay, and then brought that stone back.
Oh, no.
This one. Yeah. Different story.
Yeah.
There's so many stories, yeah. So, and Tio's showing me the actual artwork that tells the story. That's quite intricate. How big is it?
That's about 2 meters.
2 meters?
Two, yeah.
How long did it take you to...
Oh, take me a couple of, about 2 months, I think.
Yeah. So what style is this? Is this screen printing, is it?
Lino.
Lino.
Yeah, lino print.
Okay. So you had to get the, carve it out first on the lino print.
Yeah, with the vinyl, then print it on paper.
Oh, my goodness. Would have taken you a long time, kept you busy.
Mm.
Did you, you're talking about, and can you talk about it? Like what sort of protocols did you have to do to carry out in order to tell the story of the two warriors and the stone? Did you have to ask permission?
Yeah, I have to ask my uncles and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Because one of them, two ancestors, is linked to that one.
Okay.
Yeah, there's two warriors there called Zangor and Kinaor.
Right.
So my ancestor is Zangor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. And what happened to the glowing stone?
Oh, this one, European, Dr. McFarlane, I think.
Oh, he took it?
Yeah, took it.
So it's sitting in some Westerner gallery somewhere or something?
Somewhere
or
there.
So have there been, attempts to find it?
Yeah, my uncle's been doing that for a couple of years, but they couldn't find it.
Okay. Well, I guess that's going to be handed over to you then, eh? To go look around for that stone.
Yeah, it's very sacred and,
Right. Well, look, Vincent, thank you so much for having a quick yarn with us. We're going to meet some of the other artists here in the studio with us. I think we might. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I think we might go to Yarraba now and say hello to the mob from there. So we've got Philomena and we've also got Michelle. So firstly, I'll start with Philomena. Hello, welcome to Let's Talk.
Hello.
Tell us your mob, your country. We know you're from Yarraba, but is your country there, your connection there?
Yeah, I've got connection in Yarraba. Mm-hmm. I'm from the Guruguru, mob at Yarraba, Kungenji tribe.
Yep.
On my mother's side and on my father's side, I'm a Kuka Yalanji. I'm up in Woodjill and Daintree area.
Mm. You've been involved in the arts for some time. You're a recognised Aboriginal artist from that part of the world. Tell us what got you into it.
Yeah, I started in 1991 as an artist. I started off with screen printing and tie-dye.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 1996, I started basket weaving. I was, and I'm a basket weaver.
Mm.
Yeah, because my grandmother taught me.
Yep.
At a young age.
And what sort of materials do you use for your basket weaving?
Pandanus and loike.
Okay. And that stuff is readily available at home?
No, we have to go out and collect the pandanus.
Mm-hmm.
Then bring it back and strip it, strip all the thorns off, then dry it and straighten it, twirl it, then start stripping it to start my basket.
Mm. Does your basket sort of have more like a, well, I guess, yeah, how, what was your, you know, you were learnt by your grandmother?
Yeah.
So she was doing it basically for practical reasons, needed baskets to carry out things around the house and stuff like that, yeah?
They used to carry baby napkins and some of the ladies, elderly, used to carry their Bibles in.
Yeah. 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 And now you're doing basket weaving for collections, or do you still do basket weaving for, you know, to do everyday things around at home still?
No, I just do it just for collections now, but I get some elderly people still asking it.
Yeah.
Asking
for you to make them a basket.
To make a basket for them to carry their stuff in.
How long does it take you to make a basket? Does it, depend on how intricate? Do you dye the pandanus?
Yeah, I dye mine.
Yeah.
I go out and collect dyes.
Mm-hmm.
From dig roots and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
To get colour.
Yep. Mm. All right. And how many baskets do you do in any week?
For a small one, it'll probably only take me 2 weeks. But for a big one, when I do for exhibition, it take me about 6 months to do.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a lot of planning ahead? Because you have to get the materials, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of planning ahead because sometimes I have to get my partner to help me.
Yeah.
To collect.
See, how much would you, you know, how many pandanus leaves would you need just to do a small basket?
For a small one, I'll probably only get about 5 or 6 bunch.
Yep.
But for a big one, I'll need a lot.
Mm. And is it the material itself accessible all year round, or are there only certain times that you can make
it's all year round.
Okay. Well, that's pretty handy, isn't it?
Only when it's good to collect it when it's really sunny.
Yep.
And not when it's damp.
Is that because it helps drying out?
Mould will set in it.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. And what do you do to actually keep it, I suppose, waterproof afterwards? Or once it's dried out, that's fine?
I just pack it away in a dry place.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Lovely.
And then when I want to use it again, I'll just, if it's get a bit hard and it start breaking, I just put it in water.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it just sort of reinvigorates it. Okay. Right. And what have you got in the existence exhibition?
I think a mat, eh?
You've got a mat in there? Oh, a painting. Oh,
yeah, a painting. What is it? Yes. It's,
Tell us about it. It's an acrylic one, yeah.
It was about light in the olden days, and I had a dark one and then I had a light one.
Yeah.
For when electricity was introduced.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. See, so I can remember when electricity was introduced back in my community, so we haven't had it for, you know, it was a big deal, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Was your house one of the first ones, or did everyone get electricity at the same time?
No, I think everyone was in darkness before electricity came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. And how long ago was that?
Oh. I think long time before
sport. Oh, dear. Well, this is beautiful. So, you've got a woman of many talents. what have you got planned for the rest of the year in terms of what you might be doing in terms of your work?
Well, we got an exhibition on. Mm-hmm. Here in Kayak, we got the icons of clay.
Yep.
And we got something going on at the Cairns Regional Gallery.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think Kick Arts, eh?
Mm.
I think we got something at Kick Arts. It's follow up to Kayak in July.
Yep. Yep. Fantastic. Are you passing on your skills to a new next generation? Are there people interested?
Yeah. I was trying to pass it on to school children, but when we started to go out and collect all the materials, they sort of gave up.
Oh, okay.
So I'm trying to get my daughter and my granddaughters to try and pass it on to them.
Yep.
Because I got a few aunties out at home who's still doing basket weaving.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. And if you happen to be in Cairns and I'm not sure what the situation is to go and visit Yarrabah, but do you have people coming in who want to see, you know, you and the ladies at work doing basket weaving?
Yeah, I've got a group coming in August, I think, from in Cairns, Saltwater Basketry.
Yep.
Yeah, they'll be open in August to do a workshop or something.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah, keeping you busy.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. We'll have a yarn with Michelle Yateman and Geraldine York in just a moment here on Let's Talk. We've got Michelle Yateman with us. Hello, Michelle.
Hello.
Tell us your Mobi country, Michelle.
I come from Yarrabah. I'm from the Kanganji tribe.
And are you an actual Yateman or are you married into the family?
I'm married into the Yateman family. I was a Patterson.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Fantastic. And you've always been there in Yarrabah?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell us about, because your specialty is ceramics.
Yep. I'm a ceramist.
Yeah.
All my pots reminds me of shells that I pick up along the beach.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get into it?
Well, that I think that was my second job working as a potter when I was 16.
Really? Yeah, were you still going
school,
to?
Yeah.
You? Oh, you'd left school by that stage?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Where did you go to school? Was it Gordonvale or?
Cairns State High.
Cairns State High. So you used to commute from Yarrabah into Cairns. All right.
By bus every morning.
Mm-hmm. So were you doing art at high school or?
No.
So you
never do art at high school.
No? And so you did it back in community.
Yeah.
Who taught you?
Well, I had a good teacher. I just used to do cleaning boards. Well, Connie Richard is a famous potter.
Yeah.
I used to clean up after him.
Yeah.
Like wash his boards after he finished making a cup or something.
Yep.
Or a bowl.
Yep.
And I used to put paint oxide on his cups and bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And glaze his pots.
Mm-hmm. And that was where you developed an interest, even a love for it?
Yeah, just doing, working with moulds.
Mm-hmm.
And packing the kiln for Connie and Edward Deemer, another
good
potter.
Mm. Wow. And so you've been doing this since you've been 16?
Yeah.
When did you do your first piece of ceramic pottery? Like one where you thought, I'm really proud of this. And
10 years ago.
10 years ago?
1985.
Mm-hmm.
We first got selected, me and Philomena, for the Telstra Art Award in Canberra.
Yeah, fantastic.
And then we went from there just... Started doing better things.
And the what inspires you? The country around Yarrabah inspires you?
Yeah, the beach,
mm-hmm.
where I come from.
Mm. Well, tell us about the piece that you have in...
Oh, that's a sea egg pot, I called, because of the... black and white oxide,
mm-hmm.
and the texture on it.
Yeah. How did you do the texture?
Using old car mats.
Okay. Reusing old things.
Yeah.
So what, you made it and then you what?
I made just two halves,
mm-hmm.
and I joined it together.
Okay.
And then I put the circle on top.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful. And how this piece, it's what, it looks, what would be the equivalent? It'd be the equivalent size of, it's not the size of a cup or anything like that. It's is it like the size of a large serving bowl or something like that?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Is it just this one you've got in there or have you got some other pieces of ceramic?
No, just that one.
Yeah. Just that one. Mm-hmm. And are you working on something at the moment back home?
Just getting ready for Cairns Indigenous Art Fair.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
we've got Icons of Clay at Kick Arts.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an exhibition at Cairns Regional Gallery. Mm. I also got selected for the Sculpture by the Sea in Sydney.
Okay.
That was supposed to be last year,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't happen. So this year, hopefully, I'll get my piece
mm-hmm.
in there.
All right. Mm. And when you do sort of something like the sea egg pot, do you do one off or do you do several versions?
Yeah, I did about four.
Four of these?
Four of them, yeah.
Beautiful.
I've sold a... first one.
Mm-hmm. All right. To a private collector or to a gallery?
Private.
Yeah. Private. Okay. Well, this is beautiful. I appreciate you having a yarn about your artwork. I know that all of you have been nervous about the whole experience, but I guess put you in your workshop and you're a whole different... it's a whole different experience, but I do appreciate you having a yarn with me, Michelle, and good luck with the rest of the year and the upcoming exhibition as well. We might say hello now to Geraldine York. Now, Geraldine is also from the NPA area, from Bamaga, in fact. Hello, Geraldine. How are you?
Good.
Where are your people from, Geraldine?
My mother's side is from Ormapoon.
Mm-hmm.
My clan group is Chunganji.
Mm-hmm.
My father's from Weipa.
Yep.
So my clan group in Weipa is Watang.
Watang?
Yeah.
All right. And tell us a bit about how you got involved with Yumi Art. So you're one of these artists who've come down, not necessarily have got a piece in their existence exhibition, but you're participating in some of the programs that Yumi Arts provides. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about that.
I got involved with Yumi Arts in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah. I entered the exhibition there in my Partway exhibition, yeah.
Yeah, all right. And what is it that you do? What's your practice?
I do painting.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly based on my totem.
Yep.
And where I come from.
Right. And what got you into that?
Art been always my thing in school.
Yeah, you enjoyed it in the classroom. Were you encouraged by your art teachers to tell you?
I always just like to scribble on a piece of paper when I was at school.
Yeah.
Then when I left school, I worked with Auntie Agnes Kennedy, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been working with Agnes for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. And how does it make you feel, you know, what sort of feelings do you go through when you're working on a particular...
It makes me feel good.
Mm.
Make me express my feelings. Yeah.
Fantastic. Are you working on something at the moment, back home?
No.
No? So how do you have your own workshop at home, or where do you practice your art?
I'm pretty much at the
at Yumi Art
Centre.
At the Art Centre. So is that one of the things that you do, if artists don't have a space at home to practice their work, they can go to the Art Centre, is that right, Tio?
We've got some studio space, primarily for printmaking.
Yep.
And we've also got framing and stretching equipment at the back. But it's pretty much for printmaking.
Mm.
Yeah, and for Auntie Geraldine, she's from Newmarpoon.
Yep.
She works from home.
Yeah,
and at the arts and up there.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. No worries then. Fantastic. And so, what have you sort of enjoyed most about working with Yumi Arts then over the last couple of years? Then, what have you noticed different about yourself
that I've been recognized?
Okay. Yeah.
I love everything about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if there's any artists who are listening, potential artists, emerging artists, that they should... what's the process, Tio? If I'm from community and I think I can, you know, I love doing a particular thing, I like drawing stories, I like telling stories, I like pottery, I like basket weaving, but I'm not confident about doing it on my own, what sort of things can I do? What do I contact you? What's the best thing?
Yeah, they contact me. When they first contact me, they bring in or email me some of their work, and we just have a yarn about the opportunities out there.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are confident enough to want to do an exhibition.
Yeah,
Yumi Art. So.
Mm-hmm.
We just talk about their work, see how they can develop it, talk about what opportunities are out there,
mm-hmm.
All the different organisations, and, yeah.
Right.
Put them through our programs. Yeah.
And have most actually worked with their local art centre, if there is one in present in community?
In Cairns, we sort of act as an art centre too,
mm-hmm.
And cater for Cairns-based artists, which Exhibition Ready is more focused on, and for in-community stuff that, you know, with funding and all of that. We can go into community to deliver those programs. Yeah.
What kind of relationship do you have with the local TAFE? Because I imagine that some visual artists have gone through and done their studies at the local TAFE in Cairns to practice their art, to develop their skills, that sort of thing.
Yeah, many of the artists I've worked with have come through the TAFE. System there and got their qualification,
mm-hmm.
And many of them after leaving TAFE, you know, because they got all these works, they just want to put those first stuff on show there,
mm-hmm.
And some artists that just recently had an exhibition with us are going through TAFE now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do many of the artists go and do what you do and end up doing a Bachelor of Fine Arts at a university?
Yeah, some have done that and are doing. There are many artists there in Cairns going through the Deakin University,
mm-hmm.
Down in Melbourne there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they're all studying and, you know, trying to get to that higher level.
Mm. All right. Well, for the benefit of people who are listening who may want to, find out more about UMI Arts, is there a good phone number to contact the organisation?
Yeah. We've got website there. All our contact details are on there.
All right. UMI, what's the web address?
Yeah, www.umiarts.com.au.
UMIARTS, that's UMIARTS.com.au.
Yep. Jump on there. Our marketing manager, Danelle, updates that regularly. And, yeah, they're all up there watching us through the security cameras. So we're all looking busy down here.
All right. And so you're off now to the State Library?
Yeah, State Library for mm-hmm. a tour there and Brisbane Museum.
All right.
Then all these fellas have to go get warm stuff for the next half of the trip to Sydney and Canberra. So,
All right. Well, good luck with that one. And, of course, the exhibition opens tonight?
Tonight at 6 o'clock.
Existence. Yeah. All right. Existence. And all artworks on sale.
On sale, yep.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you to all of you for popping in and having yarn with us here on Let's Talk.
Thank you.